The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, February the 24th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Florida's governor breaks with Trump and the NRA on gun control. Also on today's nationwide rundown, the U.S. Supreme Court hears a case that could devastate public employee unions and opposition to diverting water to draw new industry to Wisconsin. First, our top story, lawmakers return to Washington today to face intense public pressure to act on gun control. The New York Times reports that demand is fortified by a bipartisan group of governors calling for Congress to take action to protect against mass shootings. The Times reports over the week-long recess, Republican leaders in both the House and Senate remained largely silent on gun legislation. Our Tramell Gomes reports one governor who's ready for action is Florida's Rick Scott. Scott has enjoyed an A-plus rating from the National Rifle Association, but he's broken now with the NRA. Scott's proposing to raise the age to 21 to buy all firearms and also passing a red flag law to allow friends and family to report a person who shouldn't have guns.
On Sunday, he rejected a plan pitched by President Donald Trump to arm certain teachers. Scott said he would work with state lawmakers during the next 2 weeks to raise the minimum wage for buying any kind of gun in Florida to 21 years old, with some exceptions for younger military members and law enforcement officers.
I'm an NRA member, all right? I support the Second Amendment. I'm sure there's going to be NRA members that agree with me, and I'm sure there's NRA members that don't agree with me. But that's pretty much true with everything I do.
Long guns, including the semi-automatic AR-15-style assault rifle used in the February 14th attack at a high school in Parkland, can be bought by people as young as 18 under current Florida law. During Friday's Conservative Political Action Conference, Trump said that if teachers at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School would have been allowed to carry concealed weapons, the outcome would have been much different than the deaths of 17 students and adults.
The Broward County Sheriff's Department is investigating a claim that several deputies stayed outside the high school during the response to the mass shooting instead of immediately going inside. Through Twitter, the NRA is targeting Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel, stating he's the one that didn't protect the children. A case that could deal a massive financial blow to public employee unions goes before the U.S. Supreme Court today.
The case is called Janus versus the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. The question is whether states have the right to allow public employee unions to charge non-members fair share agency fees. Brian Lee, executive director of the Nevada State Education Association, is in D.C. to attend the oral arguments today. He says people who exercise their right not to join a union still benefit from the labor agreements it negotiates, so it's only fair that people contribute.
The issue here is whether or not the unions must work for free for members who choose not to pay, and whether or not states have the state right to structure how they want to interact with their public employees.
28 states, including Nevada, have passed laws prohibiting fair share agency fees, which apply to all types of unions. This case could make them illegal nationwide for public employee unions. Conservative groups argue that no one should be required to contribute to a public employee union that may take political positions the person doesn't agree with. However, agency fees, which typically are 50 to 70% of the fee to join, cannot by law be used to pay for political advocacy or union elections. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The White House is again targeting a program that helps reduce energy costs for struggling families in Ohio and the nation. Mary Sherman has our report.
President Donald Trump's recently proposed 2019 budget calls for the end of the low-income home energy assistance program, which helped about 8% of Ohio households in fiscal year 2017. That's more than 344,000 families. As chairman of the Environmental Justice and Climate Committee for the Cleveland chapter of the NAACP, Kent Whitley says LIHEAP helps prevent utility shutoffs, a problem that disproportionately impacts low-income families of color.
A lot of the community is on public assistance. A lot of community is working poor. And when rates go up, you have to make a decision between food and electricity and gas. It's quite simple.
Opponents claim the program is not necessary and subject to fraud, while supporters argue that assistance with bills typically is provided directly to a household's utility and not the customer.
And finally, as part of a deal proposed for Taiwanese electronics manufacturer Foxconn to build a huge plant in southeast Wisconsin, Tim Morrissey tells us Governor Scott Walker is proposing that the city of Racine be allowed to divert 7 million gallons of Lake Michigan water every day.
The water would be used in the manufacture of high-tech electronic screens. Conservation groups are opposed to the plan, saying it's just the latest move to undercut the state's environmental laws. Ryan Billingham is with the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters.
I think it's important that people understand the impact that Foxconn is going to have on the state. It's not just this particular thing. It's an accumulation of damage, not just giving away Great Lakes water, but really trying to break apart and degrade the very spirit of the Great Lakes Compact.
The city of Milwaukee taps about 97 million gallons of water each day from Lake Michigan for both residential and business use. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is taking public comments on the plan through the 21st of March. That's our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.